It is the privilege and joy of the handmaids of the precious blood to bring to you a spiritual conference given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin's conferences have proved to be of invaluable inspiration to priests, religious, and laity alike, particularly in these days of unrest and turmoil. Father Hardin is professor of systematic theology at the Jesuit School of Theology, Loyola University, Chicago. Father conducts a course in Catholic higher education at St. John's University in Jamaica, New York. He is a well-known author, lecturer, and consultant to various national religious and educational enterprises, and is renowned as a retreat master and spiritual director. Father Hardin is the author of the Catholic Catechism, a contemporary catechism written according to the norms established by the Holy See in the new General Catechetical Directory. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, What is Prayer? Father Hardin.
Our subject then for the present conference is, What is Prayer? By way of introduction, we might just remind ourselves that the subject of prayer is worth talking about and listen about. After all, there are so many interesting subjects we could speak about. Why, of all the prosaic things to still say more about, why prayer? Well, not everything interesting is important, and not everything important is instructive, whereas I think the subject of prayer is all three. It is, first of all, interesting because it is the one feature of our spiritual life that should be, even if it is not, the most delightful part of our dedicated living. We ought to enjoy praying, which is one of my synonyms for a thing being interesting. It corresponds to the merry phase of our existence, compared with the martyr phase, both incidentally important. But Christ himself said, not that Martha had chosen the bad part and Mary the good, but simply that between the two, Mary had chosen the better part. The subject of prayer is also important because on all sides, those who know through what crisis the church is passing, affirm that what priests and above them bishops, and for our purpose, especially religious, most need is to recover the practice of prayer. With prayer, the church is safe and secure. Without it, all is in danger of being lost. Praying religious are good religious. Praying priests are good priests. The others are not. Then again, the matter of prayer is instructive not in the ordinary sense, that it is enlightening to learn more about prayer, which no one denies. It's always instructive to learn more about anything. But in the less obvious sense, that prayer is not exactly intuitive. It needs to be learned and can always be learned better. So that it is no coincidence that the one single occasion when the disciples directly asked Jesus to teach them anything. Now, mind you, they needed to be taught a lot. But on one occasion, when they had the foresight to ask the Savior to teach them, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And if they who accompanied the Savior, the foundations of the church, needed to be taught how to pray, we sure do. Goodwill here is, of course, necessary, because no one prays unless he or she wants to, but goodwill is not enough. There is such a thing as learning more about prayer in order to appreciate its value, improve one's method of praying, and in the apostolate, especially to help others develop their life of prayer. I cannot think of a nobler object for apostolic work than to inspire and motivate people to pray. So much for an apologia that was propaedeutic to the conference. Before entering on what must seem a very commonplace topic, it is not. We then ask ourselves, what is prayer? We might begin by observing that if there is any element in man's religious history that is most often described, or among specialists, and they don't have to be Catholics or Christians, say the phenomenologists of religion, the historians of religion, the one thing on which these specialists have written most, speaking about man's religion just in general, the one subject they talk and write most about is prayer. This should not be surprising, given the fact that all believing mankind prays. There has never been, there is not now, and there never will be, any religion in the world whose adherents do not pray. And most of the human race has always professed some religion. Hindus pray to Brahman, Buddhists to Amitabha, Muslims to Allah, the Chinese to Shang Ti, the great first ancestor, the Jews pray to Yahweh, the Christians to God. But all address themselves somehow to the ultimate being whom they worship, often in curious ways, and sometimes in ways and ritual that seem strange, even bizarre, to us Christians. But they pray. A simple, generic statement that should be etched in bronze is, all those who believe in God pray. Those who do not believe do not pray. Prayer is the language of faith. Or better, it is the atmosphere of faith. It is also the index of faith. The more deeply we believe, the more constantly and comfortably and joyfully we pray. Is there, however, a description of prayer that Christianity has developed and on which, as Christians, we can reflect with profit to analyze and, through the analysis, profit in our practice of prayer? Yes. A simple but accurate description defining prayer is to say that prayer is the voluntary response to the awareness of God's presence. The voluntary response to the awareness of God's presence. Without dwelling on the definition, and without attempting what this is not supposed to be, a long theological disquisition, but a down-to-earth practical foundation, suppose we briefly pause to look at each of its four main terms: God's presence, awareness, response, and voluntary. God's presence, of course, means that we are always present to God. He is constantly not only conscious of us, but constantly active in our favor. Without His presence, we should not even be, let alone have all that we complacently call our own, so much so that we can very accurately define nothing as that where God is absent. In a word, then, wherever we are, God is there. Or more accurately, unless He were here, we should not even exist. His being here is what, well, makes us here. Without Him, we shouldn't be. Awareness. Now this awareness is simply that on our part which is the subjective response to God's objectively being here. He is present in the way we have just described, whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we are conscious of it or not. Our being aware of God surely does not make Him present. But we are praying only if we're going to talk a lot about the hypotheses of our faith, the ifs which depend on us. We are praying only if in some mysterious way we are aware of the fact of His presence. Notice, however, I did not say necessarily conscious of His presence. Why not? First of all, consciousness more commonly refers to the intellect, whereas we can be aware of God's presence without necessarily reflecting intellectually on the fact of His presence. So by now, after years of lecturing and teaching on the subject of prayer, I have found that the word awareness is much better and indeed more correct than consciousness. Moreover, we know that there are depths below or beyond the strictly conscious. That, for want of a better word, we sometimes call subconscious, which nevertheless most certainly qualifies as awareness. A mother may be several rooms away from her sleeping child, as I have on occasion discovered in eating dinner with some of my professional friends. They have young children. We're at table. The child has been put to bed. We're in animated conversation. She hears a faint cry and reacts immediately. She may not have been consciously thinking about the baby. In fact, she couldn't have been, because I was talking to her and she stopped in the middle of an intelligent conversation. But she was deeply aware of that child's presence in the house. So much then for awareness.
Please turn the tape over to side B.